Okay, good afternoon. Thank you for the introduction. Actually, the title of the presentation is a little bit different than it's printed. It's a comparison between univariate and multivariate methods for soil carbon determination by laser-induced Brackendahl spectroscopy. And also a small mistake in the printed version. I have three author and co-authors. They are background from chemistry, from mathematics, and work in this very wide scope of include these leaves and to analyze soil carbon. And I am, this work is performed in Brazil, in the Embrapa, is a Brazilian Agriculture Research Corporation, in the Instrumentation Center in São Paulo State. I am also currently working here in Beltsville, Maryland, in a partnership with Agriculture Research Service. And I am currently the president of the International Human Substance Society. You had just realized our biannual meeting in Spain. The next is scheduled to China in 2012. For those who has interest in the area, you'll be very welcome to attend our meeting. Just a few words before to enter in the issue that I present here. I gave this information yesterday in another presentation, but this is a very important topic because every time you are bombing that you are deforesting the Amazon, this is correct, but yet you have 85% of our rainforest preserved. And our government is an illegal activity, deforestation, and you have the goals in the greenhouse greenhouse gas emissions to reduce in 40%. Then you hope that deforestation will stop. And also I'd like to say our main agriculture activities in the south of the country, in the savanna area and in the south southeast area, not in the Amazon area. You have deforestation in Amazon is decreasing. It's recent that data have shown this. And this is our numbers. You have also a very large amount of pasture land with 200 million of hectare that could be improved this use with best managed practice to use as to crop production, to biofuel production. And also you have, if necessary, if you have marketed it from with sustainable activities, an area of 100 million of hectare to be used. Naturally, it's not necessary to use everything. You have biodiversity, you have many issues that must address out. But considering the issue as food security, global climate change, you believe our country with continental dimensions like United States can play a very important role in this scenario. And this is the reality what you have. You have, you are using currently only 60 million of hectares with grains, including sugarcane used to ethanol biofuel. This is just general information. And this is also what you are doing in our savanna area. This is a no-till plantation. You have 35 harvest machine and simultaneously you have 17 sowing machine. This is amazing. You don't have a strong winter. This is possible to have two or sometimes three harvest season. This is also a big difference that some people sometimes don't realize. And from the sustainability point of view, this is a data from our data published in Soil Tillage Research in 2006, showing that in savanna area, you call Cerrado in blue, the total organic carbon, when you start cultivation, can be increase the total organic carbon. It's totally against that is normally you have in literature, that's correct. But in this case, this savanna area has low pH and aluminum toxicity mainly. Then you have some constraint in the biomass in the native area. It's not a forest, it's this vegetation is more limited, you have less biomass. When you start cultivation with correction to lime, this was an important contribution of agricultural research in Brazil, then it's possible with good practice to improve the total organic carbon. Then you have carbon sequestration, you have some data showing this. Naturally, this is not naturally, this is experimental theories. It's not occurring out commercial area, this is a challenge to improve the sustainability, but for sure you have this possibility. And when you see data, for example, from Dr. Hatton Lau from Ohio State, normally you have a depression of soil carbon when you start cultivation. In some situation with good practice, it's possible to, with big challenge, but it's possible to increase. In our analysis, you have 100 years It's not an easy task, but it's possible. And in some situations, we can overcome the native soil, total organic carbon native soil. In this few places, you cannot read here, but the savanna area, the savanna soil, is one of these examples gave in this information from Dr. Lau, confirming what you have obtained by me and several other colleagues in Brazil. And also, you have a new system of production as grain, cattle, forest system, integration of this system. This is a real picture from area that starts with soybean. You have a nitrogen biological fixation in the soil. Then you can, together, eucalyptus plantation. Then you can put the grassland. And this is something that is amazing possibility to have production of food, from of fuel, of wood. This is something that is happening in Brazil. And naturally, you have naturally some spatial and temporal variability of soil carbon. In this condition, this situation is more emphasized, more variability of soil carbon in the soil. Then the use of different tools to improve our measurement, to possibility the increase of a number of analysis is essential. And in your lab, you are using the laser-induced Brackendahl spectroscopy LIBS as an emergence technique. And basically what you have is a pulse laser generates a plasma plume that have emission that can generate a spectra with multi-elemental analysis. And one of these elements is possible to detect carbon. I will show ahead a little bit what you have seen, okay? Our system, what you have in our laboratory in Brazil is one bench equipment is from Ocean Opt and other two that is a portable equipment that in future we hope to use in the field. And naturally, you have several publications showing this possibility to measure soil carbon content in different journals, including one more recent last year in the Soil Science Society of America journal that is showing very clear this ability of this technique to measure soil carbon. And why use this? Is low cost, potential to be used in the field, and the other little or small sample preparation. And these are some advantages to use this technique. And this is the what you must happen in the lab when you are performing this measurement. But a challenge issue is the calibration. You have the measurement, it's qualitative information, but to have quantitative data is naturally a challenge. Then this, you are investing in these calibration procedures. And in this work, you have used these two methods, univariate and multivariate methods, for calibration and aiming carbon determination. Here is the tie of soil sample preparations. Until recently, you are using cryogenic grinding to have a more homogeneous sample. Currently, it was possible to overcome this also, to use just sieving and to avoid some matrix effect, but you are able to conduct experiment without this cryogenic grind, just trying to simplify the procedure. In this univariate method, you have used 28 samples and to calibration, 8 samples to validation. The mathematical model was left square linear fit, and you have used the carbon emission line of 193.04 nanometers. The multivariate method was with this characteristic, and the mathematical model is artificial neural network, and you have used the multi-layer perceptron procedure. I don't have time to enter in detail, but you have several lines associated with different ionized state of carbon that can be used in the procedure. Here is the initial set of data, not good correlation with 6 sample. But when you see the spectrum, as I have mentioned, you have aluminum in the soil, you have the band of carbon and aluminum together. Certainly, you have other aluminum band close that's possible to use to make correction. But initially, you had this problem because you are seeing something that is mixed with aluminium, not only carbon. Then use this other line of aluminium to use as correction, divided by this content, was possible to, is possible to have a good calibration with this univariate method. In the multivariate calibration, this is what we have obtained, and in comparison with both methods for this set of soil was good for both situations, but multivariate method has some advantage, has better low absolute errors, and also is not necessary to make this kind of correction that you have made to univariate method. In conclusions, both methods have shown very good accuracy to carbon determination, even with soil with very low carbon. I did emphasize this, but below 1% in this soil in Brazil. And one variate method has better limit of detection. The other method has lower error. But you have great expectation with multivariate method to help to overcome this spectral interference and also to use with different soil types. This is a challenge, but you are making progress in this direction, as you have shown. And thank you very much for your attention.
Any questions for the speaker?
The potential for distinguishing inorganic and organic carbon
in this method? Probably yes. I don't have the data yet, but there is some possibility because you have so different lines that eventually could be able. I am not sure about that. It really is a very good question.
Did you mention the potential to take this out into the field, to take measurements?
Yes, the next step would be to prepare this portable equipment, to use optical fiber, and to have a kind of equipment to use in the field condition. I'm not sure if you'll be able to make, like in precision agriculture, with a sensor, ongoing sensor, but even any kind of advance to go close to the field to make higher number analysis for sure could be very useful.
Any more questions? If there are no more questions, I guess this brings us to the conclusion of the session. Thank you all for participating.